Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
I used to sit on the floor of the grocery stores and just like read magazines. As like my dad would shop around, like sometimes he would let them. I had like a mad overprotective dad, so like I was lucky if I got chances to do that. But luckily, he looked at wrestling magazines. But man, I looked forward to every opportunity that I could to sit down and look through these magazines that I would never own.
Yeah,
I used to do a similar thing. I would read the Mad or the Cracked while my mom shopped.
Oh. Yeah. Good yeah, times. Because there was no chance my mom was going to let me buy one of those ever.
They're also short. Yeah. You could read them while you just stood there real quick.
Or at least get like parts of it, because it's so many little short stories and short comics. It's great.
The 35-year-old dude days, that still worked there like walks by and gives you the stink eye because you've been reading it for 10 minutes. And you're like,
yeah, and he saw you last Sunday as well, but you don't care because you're 11 years old and you could read the same magazine 14 times and still be like, oh, yeah. Remember, that was back when these were like $3.99. Have you guys looked at the price of a magazine the checkout aisle? They're like $14.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
I walked by, there was a like one of those magazines at the checkout just for the office, and I'm a huge office dork, and I was like, oh, cool, I'll grab that. Just thinking it was like $5 or whatever, I fucking scanned it and like checked out and got, it was like $25. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then you gotta call the person over and be like, hey, can you cancel this off of my order, please?
I wasn't even paying attention. It's so dumb.
But dude, that's how I found out too. It was like probably a Chili Peppers thing. I was like, oh, that would be cool to be on, I don't know, coffee table or something. Mm-hmm. And then I go to grab it. Just as an impulse, I'm almost 40 kind of buy. Like, yeah, let me flex my money muscles and be like, I'll spend $8 on this. Yeah, $8, not 20. Pump the brakes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fucking Rolling Stone. Kiss my butt.
Back when like all the video game magazines were a thing, there were like the premium ones that you'd get from like overseas, like from Britain, that they're like four times a year you get one and you paid like $120 per year. I was like, man, what I'd do to like have the money to do that. Oh, I can't imagine what those magazines would be nowadays.
Those are still a thing because you can go to a Barnes & Noble and they still have them on the shelf.
Hell yeah. And okay.
It was like, man, I can't remember the name. This is terrible podcasting because I can't remember the name of it. But I actually went home and looked it up, and that's what blew my mind is the fact that they're like quarterly releases, and it was so stupidly expensive.
Yeah.
But, oh, it was like Retro Gaming Monthly or something like that, which in itself is kind of fucked considering it's bi-monthly. It means every 4 months, but... Okay.
That is true. That is some shitty naming.
Right?
What are you doing? Quarterly. Yeah. Retro Gaming Quarterly. It's there.
Yeah, maybe that actually is it, and it's just one of those like in the moment Mandela effects.
The era when there were certain magazines that came with demo discs was an era I longed to return to. That was a cool time, man.
Yep.
Like, get your PSN, get your Xbox, take them both home, check out that shit.
I long to return to a time where a gaming console, where video games themselves would be able to be put onto a demo disc. That aren't
you can't
big,
do that now.
Long, scrawling epics that you can't even break apart a small little demo at. Out of for somebody to just sit down and play for 20 minutes endlessly. I miss games like that, and I feel like the old man shaking a fist at the clouds, but like there's something to be said for that.
100% agreed. I'm sad that era is gone, and this new era I've got so many fucking issues with. But pushing on the demo stuff, apparently I watched all of the oh god, my fucking brain went dead immediately. The people who did Psychonauts, the documentaries about them making Psychonauts 1 and 2, and just them detailing like what it takes to actually make a demo and how much it literally takes out of your like development time just to make something separate from the game that can then shift completely. It is maybe like not the best of practices. So I don't know if there's like a better way to do it, but yeah, I don't know. This digital age definitely puts a damper on things, though, regardless.
And it definitely requires such a specific kind of game, too. Like, remember back to Gex, you know? You could have Gex, or you could have Parappa the Rapper, or, you know, Tony Hawk.
God.
And these are all just things where you can just play one stage endlessly, where I'm sure there's a lot of thought had to go into that or whatever. But it's almost like cut and paste. You know, you can that cut one, the stage out and paste it into something else. And that's just, if you were to have a game like that today, that you would be able to do that and, you know, copy and paste a demo into something, that's the kind of game that people are going to be like, why are we paying more than $20 for this? This isn't worth my money. I feel like is a lot of times. But it's so weird to see that there are demos for something like Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, it's not even a demo. It's just the first hour and a half, which I haven't played Final Fantasy 16. But I imagine all of that is just a tutorial. It's like, here's a demo.
Pretty much that's what they do. I mean, Monster Hunter did that for their betas generally, too. Is it's just like the opening mission or the opening hunt. And you get a taste for it, and then that's it.
I think it tends to also then make the game development kind of skewed towards the front end. So they push a lot of the good stuff, like the big ideas, the cool like cut scenes and like flashy shit really at the beginning. And then there's usually a bunch of fucking filler in the middle for these games. Because like almost like there's so many games from that era that had like killer fucking demos. And then you'd buy the game, and then by like stage three, you're like, man, this is not the game I thought it was going to be. Why is it this now?
Yeah.
The fall off towards the, like, I mean, the first Dark Souls has it, like the part when you get to the actual section where the demons are coming from is so lame and quick and patched together because like you have to ship that shit eventually and you have a deadline. So it's always half finished and band-aided together.
Yeah.
I had something else I was going to say. You know what else is also, cool? Oh,
yeah.
Keep going.
I was just going to say, but also it, you know, shit like that really, has carried through for the last 30 years of my life and sculpting like the things that I enjoy to play. So, you know, it's nice to think back on. First time I ever played Armored Core was a random ass demo disc that I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. Burning Skies. Still don't know what the fuck I'm doing and had a blast.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I have more of an idea than being 10. But
I do remember there were a couple that like I played a ton of, but then like I never played the actual game.
Yeah. I bet I have them. I bet everybody else does, but like probably really fond memories of just demos, games they never played, but just spent so much time in the demos.
I never owned Gex.
That's honestly what, perfect. That's Dana the best Gould way to do it is a demo. That's it. Thing.
You remember Dana Gould?
Yeah.
For the longest time, I never had Tomb Raider. Just had like the first level on demo disc. Eventually, that changed, but
Tomb Raider 2, I played the Venice level over and over and over and over again. Never played any of the other PlayStation 1 Tomb Raider games. Never. Yeah. But that demo, I played to shit.
And the tiger scared me every fucking time.
I was going to say the T-Rex scared me in the first one when I got to it. It's like that weird, almost Uncanny Valley style shit that just gets into you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know, when you're that young and you're used to seeing graphics like we see in Totally Rad.
Yeah.
It's even with it being as shitty as it was still incredible. Like the first time you played GoldenEye, or I see a lot of comparisons now to like new wrestling games, and it's like, this is wrestling games today. Back when we were young, these were the greatest graphics of all time. And it's just like somebody took a JPEG and stapled it onto a roundish face. It's like, holy shit.
They always made this like Max Payne style shit.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say just a second ago. What's really cool is that this is like a throwback Experience Grind episode. No intro. Hooray. We're in the episode now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That I wasn't quite sure if it was going to pivot at all, but
yeah.
Hey, old school.
I was going to sing the intro and then we're into it now. And I like that even better. Because it's
what were you going to sing?
Nothing at all, just freestyle and just do the thing. But save it.
Adjust the number of guys that the theme song lists to be an accurate representation.
Yeah, I know. We already need to update it. I've just been lazy.
Three killers.
I need to make a new one. I don't know. I should hire some. Body off of Fiverr to do like a pop princess version.
Oh, there you go. Like,
or like a K-pop version. That would be great.
I would be okay with that.
The Kyle variant.
The Kyle variant. It's that's the K-pop. It's the Kyle pop, not Korea pop. I'm into it. Strangely, I might.
Oh, holy shit! That was a man. That was a fun walk down memory lane.
That would be totally rad. What would also be totally rad and is a walk down memory lane and is a pivot slash segue. You talked about earlier, Shawnee boy, reading magazines in the grocery store. Totally Rad being an NES game, this was one of the mythical grocery store rental games for me. I would see that box art and it jumped out at me, and the grocery store just had NES games. And a limited selection. So I rented this game a lot as a kid. So it's going to be cool to, like, for me, nostalgia back to it again, similar to Turtles. Although I think, Ryan, you hadn't played Ninja Turtles either, right?
No, not that one.
And I know neither of you guys have played Totally Rad, right?
No. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, Ryan didn't know about it. Sean, did you even know this game existed?
No.
Okay.
This was a 91 game, right?
So that's one of the...
In America?
Things for... Yeah, this was a later release on the NES's life cycle, which means they...
You can tell.
Yeah, they really are pushing everything out of that fucking cartridge.
Maybe. I mean, we'll get there. I disagree.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, one of the things that always stuck out to me as a kid about this game, first and foremost, is I do think graphically it has some very fucking nice stuff going on, with especially like these cutscenes with the human-like graphics. But there's also some like really nice stuff they're doing in the levels, like this parallax scrolling that they really kind of show off in the first stage. There's some really nice pattern work that they like this crazy realistic looking checkerboard pattern that I can't believe they pull off on an NES. Just this cartoon comic book style is something I didn't think I ever would have seen on an NES, but again, the fact that they pull it out of there, I always thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, saying that we'll get there and I disagree isn't a shot at this at all, because I am very impressed with a lot of the things that I saw. And you can definitely tell that this is a late era NES game. It's a little weird because, like, in my head, late era is usually like 93-ish, like 92, 93. Pretty much anything between 91 and 93 is just kind of... It's at the stage of almost too polished for an NES game, and the gameplay isn't quite there anymore. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
I would like you to elaborate.
I could feel that.
Just for clarity, because I think I know what you're going, but I don't want to assume.
In the respects in regards to that, for the most part, it looks really great. Okay. You can tell by this point, they know what they're doing for the most part. I do have qualms with this game that I'll bring up, but I feel like, and there's a lot of great ideas, but I don't feel like, I feel like games from even 2-3 years prior control better, just have better gameplay. So it feels like it's almost like a showcase visually what they've gotten to and not necessarily how the game is.
I guess I'll
save the rest.
That explains it. That's perfect. No, and I agree with that.
Okay. Cool.
Because
it's just such a weird feeling to have.
No, I 100% agree with you. I want to agree with you, but I also want to pepper it with, I also really like this game, so I don't want to bury the lead. But it did feel like kind of a toned down Mega Man. Like Mega Man was doing a lot more, and this game does feel like Mega Man Lite. And so like there are these inevitable comparisons to Mega Man. I was like, well, if you're doing that, Mega Man was doing like these kind of things and like these kind of platforming things at this point. So I'm with you. The gameplay is a little simple compared to some of the other stuff out there, but graphically on point. Yeah, they're pushing it in a lot of ways.
Graphically, very impressive. And it's also weird to say for a game that I was really impressed by in so many aspects graphically, in so many other regards, I felt was just was so uninspired in a lot of areas, especially that first level where they're showing off the parallax scrolling and nothing else. But here's some hills and you can slide down them.
So yeah, the weird hill thing, especially in that first level, is the reason that you can't go up them. It's roughly explained. That's actually like a roller coaster track.
Mm.
So that's why. And I'm not making excuses. It is very dumb that you just can't go up the slight angle. But
that's not even my thing. It's just
there's more.
Level one is bare bones.
There's like three enemy types, eight of them. So
and nothing else.
Here is one of my
100%.
One of my complaints with Totally Rad as a game. Is that overall like they just repeat the same enemies. They have all these cool, unique worlds, but the enemies are the same that inhabit all of them. That's kind of one of the things that is... This game does have like a big heart on its sleeve for Mega Man, the Mega Man series, you can tell. It's very inspired by it. But it doesn't take all of the good parts. Like that, like Mega Man levels have unique enemies that make sense. There's some that overall like fit into the world. But it's just, I don't know, how many times do you fight that green soldier with a gun?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the color, so the colors of, like, a lot of the other enemies change?
I mean, that was a easy
okay,
way to
I say a lot
enemy.
Of...
Yeah, it's just...
I say a lot of other enemies,
uh-huh.
But there's not even a lot of other enemies in the game, so, like, the handful of enemies that do change color... Cool, they do. But that green one, dude, he doesn't even change color. And for some reason, his hit points do change. It's like, come on, at least give me some, you know, some through line here. But Kyle, can you give us a little breakdown of what this game is just about?
I would love to, because any listeners have no idea. I gotta say, like, one of the absolute high points of this game is the story and the way that it presents itself. Because it is just incredibly tongue-in-cheek, over-the-top. It's so 90s dripped, and it almost feels like something that's made today as a parody of 90s style, but this was something made in the 90s. It's really weird how that happens. I don't know if you guys did. Did you look up the instruction booklet at all?
I wish I did.
It's wild. It has so much fucking ridiculous stuff. It gives like a full story breakdown, but written
as
in the
old NES ones did.
As the game is presented, I'll give you just some choice tidbits. I won't narrate this entire thing, but all right. So Jake is this regular dude, right? And Allison is this very righteous babe, right? And Zebediah is this gnarly old magician who used to live beneath the surface of the earth, right? So that's the story, unless you want me to elaborate totally. For sure, I knew you would. So that's the opening paragraph.
I love
of how this game is designed or presented. The story takes up 4 pages of an NES manual, and then we get to the object of the game, where there's a new completely random joke. All right, this isn't an NES game manual. There's a picture of just like an old 90s looking boss, and the first thing it says, okay, dudes, this is a picture of my boss. He doesn't have anything to do with this game, you know? So what you have to do is save Allison and Allison's dad from the clutches of Edigy. And it's just random, weird, fucking, like, Penguin of Doom-style humor shit and a 90s video game instruction manual.
I want to just throw it. Some context in for, if there's any listeners out there, which I highly doubt, because I feel like anybody listening to this is, like, mid-30s to 40s-year-old people, you know. But, hey. If you're a youngin', you still here, back in the day on the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, the first one, there wasn't like a lot of room for story in games unless you had these scrawling cutscenes. And so in the instruction manuals, most games, that's where you found the story, was in these little flipbook instruction manuals, which, okay, youngins. Instruction manuals used to come with games. They used to be packed in to help teach you how to do what you're doing. And back in the day, they also told you the story. So, yeah, just wanted to give some context there.
I want Sean to talk down to the youngins as much as possible.
It's really cool.
This is my favorite thing.
Because it also gives like a breakdown of each level. And this is where I get that fact about the first one, because it says Jake's begins his quest on the roller coaster tracks at an amusement park. So
that's a beautiful
instruction. You gotta read that shit from the manual. It's fucking great stuff, man. Also, I don't know why the magician's name is Zebediah, but he has a giant P on his hat, other than he's a total poonhound, because he's obviously like a Chris Angel style magician.
Yeah.
Clearly, right?
Yeah. He also looks like he's going to steal all of your money. Yeah. Oh, so like a Chris Angel style magician. Okay, my bad. I missed that.
This guy looks like he would be voiced by Don Knotts. And you're telling me he's a Chris Angel ass motherfucker?
Don Knotts are like a Dom DeLuise style, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 100%. It's so funny, like, you can tell, also, the graphics that we have are obviously, they've been redone for the American style. The actual characters in the Japanese release look a lot more like Zebediah's art style. They're a lot more anime inspired.
That would be cool.
So that's why
I wish
he sticks
that
out
they
a little
didn't
bit.
Change it.
I like the newer artwork better, especially for Allison, because Allison looks like a really young girl in the Japanese version.
Like
8 or 9 style shit.
Some things just never
what
change.
What a babe.
I don't think it has the same story, to be honest. I feel like this has been Americanized since it's been brought over.
Yeah, 90s in America, very different from 90s in Japan.
Because it was probably like a blank slate, like how they just kind of slapped Mario into Doki Doki Panic and just adopted all that stuff. Like, I feel that's a lot of what this game is, and that's why it is so... It stuck out to me so much as a kid because it's just so fucking weird. Like, you don't see shit like this. I did have a couple more complaints we can go over, but then I thought we'd get into positives. So, I talked about the repeated enemies, and this one sort of tied in, but it is a separate note. But again, I feel like a lot of the enemies are uninspired. Like, they don't really go with the levels that you're in. Like, there's not so many like unique fish style enemies in the underwater level, and just like
the
carnival
like
everything
level.
Is just sort of,
why aren't there clowns and shit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't really click. So,
or bats in the cave, or there's so many. Yeah. That's a good call. I didn't even think about that.
To pull back to the comparison to Mega Man, which is something I'm so glad that you said that, because that's all I was thinking about while playing this game.
Well, I mean, you have the charge up shot.
And the power switching, the menu is almost the way it's on the left side. It feels so inspired by Mega Man.
Mm-hmm. But sorry, the like you said, the enemies are just so uninspired. But on the flip side of that, because I would pretty much everything in this game, like every single part of this game, I can give you a gripe about, but then give you the flip side of it. On the flip side of it, like every mini boss, well, 90% of every mini boss and every boss, and a lot of the more grotesque monsters in the game were really fucking cool. Dude, but for every one of those is a nothing burger bouncing ball that turns into an Octorok that's spitting a rock at you or something. Like, it's this weird back and forth of, like, feeling super inspired by you have a vision for this game and how fucking weird it can be, and then just completely chintzing out to some weird, stupid place. Like, it almost feels like it should have been a placeholder enemy. That was going to be changed.
A lot of them are very
else.
Placeholder-esque.
So, but I don't get it.
That is obviously one of my big positives on this game, is that I do think the boss design is very sick. Not all of them are cool looking per se, like, but they all look cool. Like,
I'm with Sean, 90%. There's like one or two that don't work, but there's
one boss is a giant corn cob with a pink mohawk that attacks you by popping popcorn, which is utterly ridiculous, but just design-wise and the fact that they pull that off on an NES is so cool looking.
100%. It has a bedazzled red jewel that you have to attack. It's so over the top and silly. I don't want to jump to it, but like, even I love the final boss. Which is just like this giant fucking knight with this kind of see-through belly, and inside the belly is this like robotic brain with eyes.
It's so sick, dude.
It's awesome.
I like the eye weird looking monster with the robot leg that you have to shoot off first, and then his design is
like
so
a cloud
cool.
bug. I don't know, the purple thing.
It had an eyeball for a butthole. Like
it did.
It did.
It had a big eyeball and then a tiny little rectum eyeball.
Another thing that I like that was similar to Mega Man, but I like this game's twist on it, was that the bosses had health bars that were visible, which always is a huge plus. But I love that it was like the face of the boss, and like they would like turn into a skull and then they disappear. But it's very obvious, like, that you're doing damage and how much you're doing. I love shit like that.
It's very creative.
Whereas
nice
Mega Man's
flourish.
Is just like a similar health bar on the right side of the screen. There's nothing cool. I mean, simplicity in the design is cool, but I really like the style this one adds to it. It's very nice. Very nice little flourishes.
Did you guys ever play the game Astanax for the NES? I did just send a picture.
I've never even heard of this game.
File. This is one of my favorite games
cool
as a kid.
Oh, fuck.
But the monster design in that game was like off the chains, like so much fun. And a lot of the bosses and enemies in this game just take this and just take it to the next level. So I dug the hell out of that. But for every like really dope one, like those other the mini bosses that I'm not including in it, are the ones that just look like a souped up version of that green soldier.
Like
the guy that comes out and throws barrels at you that you fight like four times.
And then there's another random, there's a couple other random ones that come back as just regular enemies.
Yep.
And mixed in with that is that like demon fetus floating head thing that's just flying around the screen. I'm like, that's cool as shit.
Yeah.
Like, give me more stuff like that.
It's very all over the place with like its design and what it and parts of it. It feels just it's a jumbled together mess of things that it's like the shotgun approach. Like, oh yeah, let's throw this guy in here. Like you said it perfectly with the placeholder enemy. I feel like the green soldier guy is such a placeholder enemy that they just forgot to replace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know that it was placeholder, or maybe ran out of time. Or if it was like in that original Japanese translation that then
yeah, became something different,
morphed weird something else. So I would be very curious as to play the Japanese version.
I was and see
kind of just yeah how it differs, because I'm sure they changed up some of the designs at least a little bit.
You know? I almost feel like it would be the opposite, where like the Japanese is the super crazy grotesque shit. And then the American censors were
they toned it down.
We got to tone this down.
Yes.
We need like a little ball on the ground that just moves towards you and explodes. With, like 100 of them.
American guy's calling Japan at 3 a.m. He's like, Mr. Takashi, what? You said there would be less tentacles. There are even more tentacles now. What is happening?
I look at this and I see Power Rangers and then the Super Sentai stuff. It feels really like they tried to play to an English audience and then they only translated and like moved some stuff. And man, if you watch like the original Japanese Power Rangers and then like the American Power, it is so fucking crazy how different they are. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why is there a fucking witch in like this 90s like high school sitcom show with like kids? Makes no sense. In the Japanese version, oh, it kind of makes sense because it's like this high fantasy shit. And it's not weird. They're like ninjas in that one. And it all kind of makes sense. But then you put in the American stuff and it becomes this weird amalgam that's equally like addictive and cool and like kind of, I don't know. It's fascinating. I love shit like this. I don't think it happens often, but when it does, I love it. I love it. Like I'm fascinated by it.
It's the Mario 2 Doki Doki
And also, have we had
I was just going to ask, have we had anything like this recently? Or is that it? Like, I feel like these things from the 90s, that was the last of it. We don't do this anymore. We just kind of accept whatever is from overseas, and we don't really translate or adapt like that.
I feel like this is just a product of a bygone era. You know, you had the NES and the SNES, you know, big notably, you have the Castlevanias and, you know, the religious iconography that was all removed. And there was other games where, you know, there was, man, it's slipping my mind, but I'm almost positive they had to change like a mermaid or something because it showed like a pixelated nipple. Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, and they've removed pig anuses from games, and it's like little, you know, Japanese little balls, you know. But like there's rating systems now. So what's the point, you know?
Yeah, well, Nintendo of America was a very big stickler for a lot of shit like that.
It's probably true.
Before even rating systems did exist, they were the ones that like removed all the religious iconography because they didn't want to get
controversies. And famously the Mortal Kombat blood and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Nintendo was bad for a while, or not bad, but very prudish, I will say.
Down
and now you look at their eShop and you can see right so down. Many titties.
Mm-hmm. Was that it?
Nintendo
down up left left A right down. Mortal Kombat code for Super Nintendo.
I thought that was the Lord Puff nude code.
For you know it right away, huh?
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was either for that or that was a Genesis code. That is a Mortal Kombat code for something.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
the only one I have is the Konami code. I don't have any other codes like wedged in my brain.
I don't either.
Now I gotta check what that is.
While
what
you
are
do
other
that,
things?
I feel like I can do a lot of what you mentioned earlier, Sean, give a positive and a negative. I think one of the things that is really cool about the game is that it goes through different biomes, so to say, which is another positive that I will then link into the negative. I think this game does a good job of really kind of encouraging the experimentation of the powers, like what will work best here, although most times it's generally the eagle form because you can fly through everything. But the lion form is cool because if you didn't read the book, I don't know if you know this, but you have iframes when you jump. He's invincible in the air. And that's sort of his benefit.
See, so I want to give a big ups to this game because that's cool as shit. But my downside is I didn't know about the powers at all.
Yeah.
How far into it?
I made it until the end of the fourth act when I couldn't get out of the water.
Are you...
Dang, son.
You raw dog this game.
Yeah, and I turned into a bird or something that flapped and I got out. Yeah. And then I just beat it without any powers.
Oh my God. Sean, this is why you are the NES maestro. And
that's
like
so
there's
insane.
No game you can't do. By the end of the first level, I figured out powers. I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. I got to do this shit more. Like, this game's going to be a struggle
if I don't
use
powers. And then
you get
the magic bar and your health back at the end of each level. Yeah, you can heal.
Yeah, so you initially start with your up B being a full heal. I'm like, oh, that's a cool effect. So I figured out the bar.
Okay, all right. You had that.
So I figured out I didn't know it was like a magic thing. So
dude,
as they talked about magic through the story,
you beat all these bosses without
like,
using the time pause? That's insane, Sean.
All of a sudden,
you can just pause the time and just wail away on their weak point. It's
bow
insane.
Before
but the,
him.
But the problem, okay. The pro okay. So my thought with that is there's nothing in this game that's hard.
I mean, to a degree, no, especially
some
like
the bosses.
The worst thing is that you can't hold the Mega Man power shot and jump. Like you can only use it on the ground.
Correct.
That pissed me off.
But I think it's it's done that way to make you try the other powers, which Sean didn't know existed.
No, I just jumped and mashed.
Yep. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Maestro.
Or I figured out ways to, like, you just, it's all about timing. Almost every enemy that's even a danger to you gets low enough so that you can just hold it for an extra second and blast away. So it's, there's only one enemy in the game, and it was the enemy right before the final boss. Then I was like, what the fuck? But then I just figured out a loop to run under him, turn around, shoot him 3 times. Run under him, shoot him 3 times. I didn't take a single hit, and then I nuked the boss.
Well, there you go, folks. There you go.
But I had no idea that there's powers. And in the cutscenes, I was confused. And I was like, why do y'all keep talking about magic?
Because I can heal myself.
That is sweet, though. At least you knew to heal yourself. That's cool that it defaults to that one, I guess, for this exact scenario.
I agree with you too, though, that the difficulty is not hard, especially coming off of TMNT. Like, I was so appreciative of this. In all honesty, like, yeah, I'm with you in everything you've said, and I think we're gonna keep going. Like, for every good thing you can say, there are flaws, there are issues, but I still had a good time with this, and it just retroactively made me dislike TMNT even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like this does similar things, but it does it better.
Well, good.
Yeah, some of this stuff's bullshit. I agree, but difficulty-wise, it's like it tries to do some contrary stuff too with like the amount of enemies it throws at you, but it's never hard. They don't vary up enough to make it like difficult where you have to like jump or dodge or anything.
Yeah.
And then the powers, soon as you find out the powers, like it's not bad.
Honestly, so I turned into that bird thing and I realized you could like throw boomerangs. And by this point, like 2 hours into the game, I'm like, it's just easier for me to jump and shoot a gun than to learn how to just like mash A while like hitting B to shoot. I'm like,
being a kid and like, I thought this game was so fucking cool because like right out of the gate, you could turn into the bird. And I used to love doing that on the first level and just sort of like flying through everything and I never liked the Lion, because while you are invincible, like, he has, like, the short range, but you can almost, like, one and two hit everything with him.
Is this the reddish one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then there's the fish one that's only good for level three, because you can swim, but you can also just stay at the top the whole time and never get in the water, and you never have to worry about it.
And it's not hard. Like,
no, it's not hard.
You have to actively really... There's only one jump in this game that I was like, that's an impossible jump. And it's towards the end where you have to do like a little short hop over a spike. And there's like, for some reason, rocks sticking down from the ceiling. So it's like, you bonk every time. But that water level's one of the easiest things. There's like two fish that jump out of the water.
Yeah.
And like, the Lion, so if you're 1-2 hitting things, but it's up close, your charge blast is 1-2 hitting things, things anyways,
from all the way
from
across
a distance.
The screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really worth it, because like, the Lion, yeah, he's invincible when he jumps, but you can either jump better as your regular base, or you can just fly as the bird. It's pretty much, you're either base Jake, or you're the bird. That's the way I've always played this game. So
I want to touch on something you said, Ryan, in that like the enemies, and it tries to do, it looks like it's trying to do some contrary things, but it's never, you know, unfair. Really just want to hammer home to people, like, this is the rare Nintendo game that I don't think even comes remotely close to falling into the air quotes Nintendo hard category.
Yeah.
The hardest part about this game is when you die, you have to go all the way back to the beginning of the level. That is the hardest part, and yes, it's annoying, but there's never a time where there's enemies flying blindly onto the screen from in front of you, from behind you. Sure, maybe there's one of those mosquito balloon things that will float onto the screen, but they're easy to dodge. This isn't Ninja Gaiden. This isn't TMNT, not Contra. Every part of this game felt fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you
and
take it slow... You don't get, you know, hit by enemies. They don't just spawn in the random places like in TMNT, where they could just spawn behind you when you took a step forward. Shit, I had another point I was going to make. No!
I almost feel like they could have cranked up the volume of enemies if, and not even, like, just don't do it just willy-nilly. If they were to sit here and refine the controls a little bit more, let you jump with the charge shot. By this point, there is no reason that sliding isn't a part of this game.
Sure, like, sure. Especially
this is 1991. Like, you are wearing your Mega Man inspiration on your sleeve and doing everything at a quarter clip, Capcom. Like... Yeah. That's my biggest gripe about this game, is that it is a fair game. It has a lot of really cool enemy designs. I feel like most people could beat this if you put enough time into it easily. But it just feels like there's so much left on the table.
Sure.
And so much more that they should have been able to do that could have made this an even better game. Like, there was so much potential here to just be a better game.
Sure.
Yeah.
With the tools at their disposal.
I agree. And if we keep bringing up Mega Man, because this game does borrow heavily from Mega Man, even including the giant frame rate dips when you get a lot of enemies on the screen.
That was the worst, dude.
I know. I kind of love it. That's nostalgia for me. And I use it to my advantage. I lean into it. I'm cool with it. But. The Mega Man is a great example for like starting off on a rough note and then like really refining in the sequels, because I don't think anybody's like Mega Man 1 is my favorite. There are good things in Mega Man 1, but it's rough as fuck. It's not balanced well. And Totally Rad, I think, is a game that I would have loved to see a sequel for, where they do refine some things. Like, they hint at the characters don't mean anything to me. Whatever the girl's name is, they hint at her getting powers. And I'm like, oh, this would be dope as fucking co-op if you want to do like the Contra thing and have a second player. For a sequel, if you have like co-op and you do this and like what if you actually lean more into the Mega Man instead of doing this linear thing? Like, do choosable levels. Why not go that route? And, like, lean into it more, but then co-op. And, like, you could have a really killer, totally rad 2 Electric Boogaloo, and I would have been down for that. But sadly, it did not catch for whatever reason. Obviously, it did not get marketed because Sean and I didn't know about this game.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I don't know.
I feel like
had they made a sequel, they obviously would have called it Totally Rad 2 Electric Boogaloo.
100%. This is the second game in a row that this exact point has been made. And it's, is it just like the choice of games that we're going with here? And it's just like, we're seeing a lot of really, you know, some good rough around the edges things that definitely are pulling inspiration from different things. But man, like, I know this is just revisionist history, but I so wish that Capcom had done this instead of Jellico. Cause like,
sure. Yes.
Even think of like this game, number 2, Electric Boogaloo, but made by Capcom using more of like a Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers kind of controls, and like how smooth that was, and you know, the directionality in your jumps and how it feels like you have I appreciate that this game was not punishing at all when it came to your jumps or anything. So you didn't need that precision that you get in Mega Man or Chippendales. Yeah. But I'm not saying I didn't miss it.
I remember the point I couldn't think of 10 minutes ago. You talked about one of the bad things is if you die, you get taken back to the start of the level. But to give the positive to that, generally the levels are very short. They're shorter generally than even a Mega Man stage, which most of those are pretty short. I really like that aspect of it. Like, it doesn't take a lot to get through, again, even when you do die. So,
and even an amendment to what I had just said, I'm pretty sure it's Act 3 and 4. Each one of those is split into basically three sub-acts in themselves, where you go through a section, you fight a mini-boss, you go to a section, fight a mini-boss. And in each one of those, if you die, you start at the beginning of the subsection and not the act. So I also appreciated that because it would have been super annoying to die at the end of like sub act 3 and get sent back all the way to sub act 1.
Yeah.
That would have sucked.
100%.
Because those aren't long, but I've only got so much patience in my old age.
I would push back just to not give this game credit to say the levels are shorter than Mega Man. So like, it's okay because like Mega Man had checkpoints in like halfway through. Sure, so I think the length of a halfway Mega Man checkpoint is about the length of this level. So I think they're pretty comparable. That's it.
Yeah. I was just saying, I wasn't knocking it. Like I think a Mega Man level is pretty much a perfect length. I'm just saying these are even shorter than that, which is crazy. So
they are, and well, I mean, because, and this is an issue with the game that I really wish, again, a sequel could improve upon, but like the platforming is such, it's uninspired, it's not good. Sean pointed out the first level, and the first level is really the worst offender, which is just push right and then jump a few times.
Very Sonic.
Sonic, you still have to jump over spikes and some stuff, and like that first level is really bland, and it doesn't get much better. Like the water level, they put the spikes up that you have to dodge like almost in the same place every time, so it's like once you learn the pattern for like one part of the level, it's the same for the rest of the level, so you just have to do that many times over. Even like, if you want to compare this to Sonic, like there's variations throughout the level, even though you are essentially just going right. If you want to be like that, Mario, you just go right, but there are variations that you switch up in the level. There aren't enough variations here. And that's like why a Mega Man level can get away with it, because you've got many variations in a Mega Man level.
Yes. I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to catch too much flame on this, but like, yeah, there's the first level that at its core is just like the most basic thing that you see. But if you take a step back and you look at literally every other level, if you peel away the pretty aesthetics of the other levels, They're not as bad as the first level, but they're there. They're close. I got excited when they introduced any sort of verticality into this game, and there's only three sections like that. And it's like the most minute aspect of verticality, and where I think, and I feel bad for keep comparing it to this, but fuck it, like Mega Man, the stages are well thought out, and you do have all of those different aspects of you're going left to right, you're going up and down, you know, you're going up, you're going down. This game's great about giving you arrows telling you where you're supposed to go, but I mean, at those points you can't even pause the game. It's like, okay, you have to advance. You're gonna jump down this hole.
I like that. It's almost like a side scroller beat 'em up thing where it's like, ba-ding, 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 go this way.
Yeah.
That gave me a big pleasure in the old lizard brain back there. But yeah, that was one of the last complaints I had too, is that just overall, even for the cool, different, exciting biomes, they're all so damn bland that it gets kind of wasted overall in the end. So, other than that, man, I don't have any more notes, and I'm ready to rate, unless you guys have some other thoughts you'd like to get in.
I thought the dialogue in this game made me laugh.
Oh, man, I sent that one in the staff and admin, which is one of my favorites. She doesn't even say kidnapping. What does she say? I gotta read it verbatim. It says, Jake, they're like stealing me or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a fucking great line. It made me laugh every goddamn time.
Yeah. And then there's a part at the end of the game after Jake saves Allison. And it looks like they're having this cute moment, staring at each other in the eyes, holding hands. And he just goes like, dude, I'm so glad you're totally okay, dude. I'm just like, this is, in my brain couldn't not read it in some tubular kind of way.
100%.
But the fucked up thing is the voice in my head didn't change whether or not it was Jake or Allison talking. It was the same voice going back and forth. And it, dudes, it was so fucking funny.
I am weirdly not that far off from you. I didn't do it in the same voice, but I did it in Bill and Ted. It was just Bill and Ted talking to each other. And I was enjoying it so much. That was my headspace. This is just Bill and Ted, except one lady now.
I don't ever, like, these old games, man, like, I don't really care about what's going on in the cutscenes half the time. I'm just like, I don't give a fuck about the story anyways, which is a weird thing coming from the man that's bitching about Breath of the Wild and there being a lack of whatever. You know, it's like, it's a weird thing to be saying, but it made me laugh. It was so funny.
It does its job. It makes you pay attention. It catches you. It's funny all over the place. Like, I like that this game exists, man. Well, if he's going to say anything, we'll cut to Brian here. Right. And if he doesn't have anything, we'll just cut this whole section out.
Brian, I don't know if he's going to really hope something. You have nothing to say. I want an easy week. Give me an easy week.
Bribe bot 9,000. I want to hear it.
So, I have overall, like, I mean, we've said everything I could hope to say. I think the biggest thing, though, that gives this game an advantage is its fucking charm, man. It's charming as hell, and it weasels its way in. And for that and the presentation and everything, I gotta rate this game on a scale of not rad, rad, or totally rad. I come in at totally rad, man. 100%. Okay. So, Ryan, what about you?
It is hard when you have such a, like, up, sideways, or down system. Because it really does kind of, like, push you into a corner. I think we're all going to be in the same area, maybe. But I think it's a totally rad, which is positive. Rad to me is the thumb sideways. And I do think there's more good than bad here. I really liked my time with it. I hated TMNT, and this honestly made me realize how much I disliked playing any bit of that game. I pushed through as much as I could. I did not enjoy it. I enjoyed this game. It is not good. It is not a game I would recommend. It's not in my top even 50 NES games, probably. But I think it's charming as fuck, as Kyle said. The story, I don't think is good. I don't care about these characters, but I think it's got a really cool style. And the style is very charming. And I do think they tried a lot. I hate to say that because that does feel like a cop-out, but like, oh man, effort for trying. But like, I do think what issues there are there, and there are a lot of issues, I think are budgetary or time restraint issues. And I do think it could be refined in another game, which all these other franchises in the NES era did get fucking chances. There are, I will say, lesser games that got sequels that were less deserving than Totally Rad. And I think Totally Rad could have really shined if it was given love and attention. And I don't think it was. It feels like somebody's passion project and the company around them did not get it or support it and gave them a time limit and cut money and cut corners, and they just wanted to get out as quick as possible. But like, what is here, I think, shines through, even if it was not like Totally Rad to begin with, but like some other weird thing to begin. I like this a lot. I think there's a lot here. Totally Rad.
Nice.
Totally Rad.
I loved everything
Sean,
that you said.
I'm one sorry, thing we I didn't rambled. Even
get to hit on real quick. I did want to mention music. I thought was also pretty top notch.
Outside of the carnival level.
The carnival, yeah, I was going to say the circus level.
Awful.
But I feel like I've heard that song 1,000 times too, which is why I hated it. And it was just NES-ified. But other than that,
yeah,
like that main theme when they're doing the cutscenes, God, that grooves hard.
100%. But
anyways, Shiny Boy, what are your thoughts on Totally Rad? Is it not rad, rad, or Totally Rad itself?
You know, Ryan, you never have to apologize for rambling, because that's all I do on this show. So, like,
he was born at this point, rambling, man.
Yeah, you're just giving my cheek and my jaw just some resting time, and I appreciate it. I am on the flip side. I think much like, I feel like people like the TMNT music. I didn't, or I did. I don't. I'm the opposite of you guys. I found this music to be, ended up just muting it. At a certain point, which fine, because I play a handheld. You know, it's whatever.
It's coming through the crisp speakers.
I feel like this game feels like that bad movie that you love.
Sure.
Because it is
Gymkhana.
There's something about it. There's just something about it that speaks to your soul, makes your heart sing. You can tell there's a lot of effort and a lot of heart put in it. I appreciate that it is a breath of fresh air from literally every other Nintendo game in terms of difficulty. I'm pretty sure Sesame Street ABC 123 is harder. I may be wrong. Super Grover, don't at me. I'm going to give this a rad. And I feel bad giving it a rad.
Don't
but,
feel bad.
You know, it's... I can only do that because I feel like this game was really good, and I'm just left with the palpable feeling of like, I know how much better it could have been. I just I know how much better it could have been, and that leaves me wanting more and leaves me, frankly, a little disappointed. So, and that's not, I don't know if that's fair to this game, because it is what it is. This is the product that got sent out. But ultimately, that is the problem. This is the product that got sent out. And I feel like instead of showing us some parallax scrolling on level one, they could have gave us some parallax sliding abilities. Am I right?
Yeah.
It's 1991.
Why is there no loop-de-loop? They didn't bring sliding into Mega Man until Mega Man X.
No.
No, that's not true. That's wrong. They did it in Mega Man 3. True. And Mega Man 3, because you absolutely have to slide a needle man's skirt. Yeah, but Mega Man X
came out before 3. It's just, it's a time loop thing, trust me.
This is not the Fast and Furious franchise. I forgot the
PlayStation came out way back
Mega Man X was a super... That was a SNES game.
Yeah, yeah, that was a Super Nintendo game, but Mega Man 3 came out in 89.
Yeah. As we wrap this episode up, I did want to make the promise to you guys that my next game will be an SNES game. I don't know which one yet, although I think I have what I'm leaning towards, but I want to break away from the NES. So,
is it, can you tell us the genre?
Mech.
Ooh, is it? I hope it's a front mission game because I've never played them and I want to.
It's not an RPG. Okay. But,
well, yeah, that's interesting.
I like this nostalgia bomb trip I've been going on personally for myself, and this is another game that I remember loving from my childhood. Not getting into it yet because I'm not dropping it yet, but
we're only improving with each pick, so I can't wait for the next one.
I'm glad we did Ninja Turtles out of the gate early. I'm glad you guys went down this trip with me, and I'm glad honestly that you both on a level you didn't hate Totally Rad. And
I really liked it. It's flawed, but I really, really like it. And I awesome. I would play a Totally Rad 2 right away.
It was not TMNT. That's a huge bonus. Yeah. It wasn't miserable for you. It's a bummer Brian couldn't join us. He's watching the movie, but I do know that like he played it for like 2 weeks, he said. So he I'm assuming he on a certain level also enjoyed it, because if you didn't like it, you wouldn't play it, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So
you could bounce out.
Mm-hmm. All in all, I'm glad this was a much more enjoyable experience for all of us, and I hope that that trend continues. I also know, Shawnee boy, we're sticking with video games, because what are you bringing us next week, buddy?
Guys, we are going to be playing the classic Portal 1.
Ooh.
Going back, we're going back like, 20-ish years at this point? Not quite as far back as this one.
That's terrible.
But yeah, this is like mid-2000s, mid to late 2000s.
Wow. I think 2007. I think 2007.
I got this game when it came out.
Which is almost 20 years, guys. And I will tell you, I have played Portal 1 recently, and it blows my fucking mind that it's
yay! Oh, yeah. Maybe. I think it's something. A yay. It's something, yeah.
Oh my god, I can't believe I fucking nailed that. Portal was released in 2007. Holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
That's insane.
It's legal.
It's legal.
Oh my god, that's crazy. So listeners, if you somehow have never played it at all, I feel like Portal 2 is the one that's a little bit more remembered just due to the humor that's in the game. And there's a lot of iconic lines and memories from that. But Portal 1's where it began. You can
Portal
1
has the most memorable video game experience of my entire life in it. So
amazing. It's a quick weekend play, honestly. And
very short.
Listeners, you can regularly get it for like $2 on Steam if you're playing
on
there.
Everything.
I know they just did an anniversary edition on consoles that's like $20. So definitely worth it. Pick it up, play it. I would love to hear your thoughts. So drop them in the comments or in
also,
Discord.
Shawnee, are you familiar with the Norse mythology of the tree that supports the world?
Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil. I think we have a tree with a similar idea, but not the name. It's got a
cock
link
tree
in it.
What?
I'm trying to
oh,
plug.
I hate you. Yeah. Yeah, guys. So I just mentioned I would love to hear more about your shit below in the comments and also on the Discord. But you know what? You can find a link to the Discord by clicking the Linktree link in the show notes. Or if you just, I don't know, you're too late, you don't want to do that. Because I think to myself, I listen in the car. I think, oh, wow, I'll check the show notes later. And boom, ADHD. I will never do it. But what you can do is just go to linktree.ee/experiencegrind. Linktree's got that weird thing. So linktree/experiencegrind. Hit there. Got it's our Facebook, it's... our Discord, Blue Sky, pretty much wherever you want to find us. It's right on there, so check it out. Patreon.
The dot also EE there. Is it's a Norwegian website.
Oh, is that the dealio?
No, I'm just doing, tying it back into Norse and Yggdrasil and I'm sorry, I'm ruining it.
No, honestly, all I could think of was like Buseju or whatever that Magic the Gathering tree is. And I'm like, where is he going?
I would not get
this?
That reference at all.
And I didn't get yours. No, you wouldn't. So let's go.
Oh, let's trade it up. Anyways, I love you boys. I love you listeners. And until next time when we're sticking things in holes and seeing what comes out the other side, listeners, you can go tubular yourselves.